Summer tourism might be heating up, but airlines say coronavirus is still dealing a devastating blow. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. For months, the COVID-19 pandemic has kept planes out of the sky and airlines on edge about what the future of travel will look like in a post-coronavirus world. As they try to limit costs, today, Australia's Qantas announced it'll slash 20% of its workforce, and the European Commission has approved a bailout for Germany's Lufthansa to help keep it operational through the crisis. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more on that story.
Airlines around the world are planning for a bleak future. Already badly hit by lockdowns in major markets, they do not expect the industry to recover fully for several years. Lufthansa's bailout is now likely to go ahead, after the group's biggest shareholder said he would vote for it, despite concerns about the German government's influence. The company will have to give up slots at Frankfurt and Munich airports, under conditions set by the European Commission. Meanwhile, Australian carrier Qantas says it will ground 100 aircraft for at least a year, and possibly longer. It plans to cut 6,000 jobs, roughly a fifth of its total workforce. In London, I'm Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
Well, the collapse in travel has weighed heavily on the energy sector this year. Crude oil prices have dropped about 40% in the last 6 months. That's a problem for Nigeria, Africa's biggest crude producer. This week, the government there announced a $6 billion stimulus package to help see the economy through the crisis. And the World Bank has given the green light for a $750 million loan for the country's energy sector. From Lagos, the BBC's Kunle Falayi has more.
The Nigerian aviation industry is still in lockdown, and that is critical to every sector of the economy. For the first quarter of this year, Nigeria has already lost about $125 billion of its oil revenue. And we expect that by the end of 2020, Nigeria will lose 75% of its oil revenue. And that has a ripple effect on every aspect of the economy.
And clearly this impacts not just aviation companies, but everyone in between, right down to the average person living in Nigeria, doesn't it?
It has always been the story in Nigeria that when the oil industry is in distress, for example, every Nigerian is in distress because that is where we draw our wealth from. Salary earners, business owners, the informal sector, which makes up 65% of the Nigeria's GDP. So you understand how huge this is for the average Nigerian on the streets.
So how will the government's $6 billion stimulus package be allocated and used to help the economy and the people there?
The stimulus is targeted at small business owners and the hospitality sector and the travel industry as well. The energy sector is very critical. The government recognizes the fact that any recovery plan that does not involve the cash cow of the country is doomed to fail.
The BBC's Kunle Falayi in Lagos. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Victoria.
Global stock markets are little changed as investors fret about the rising COVID-19 case counts and the long-term impact they'll have on the global economy. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is up 0.6%, while U.S. stock futures are mostly flat. Meanwhile, German payment processing giant Wirecard has filed for insolvency this morning after admitting this week more than $2 billion on its balance sheet just might not exist. Shares were halted on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange today. They've fallen about 90% since last Wednesday. Saudi Arabia lifted its coronavirus lockdown over the weekend, and while the government allowed economic and commercial activities to resume, it extended a ban on international travel and religious tourism. That means an estimated 2 million people who plan to visit Mecca and Medina this summer for the Hajj, an annual Islamic pilgrimage, will have to stay home. Thousands were expected to travel from Kenya, and as the BBC's Hudifa Aden reports, the travel restrictions come with economic implications, not just for Saudi's tourism industry, but for the Kenyan pilgrims and businesses that help fuel it.
In a bid to control the coronavirus pandemic, Saudi Arabia's Ministry of Hajj announced on Monday that it will drastically limit the number of visitors to the two holy mosques of Mecca and Medina, allowing only Saudi citizens and foreigners already in the kingdom to attend it. The ritual is one of the key pillars of Islam, and faithfuls who can afford it and are in good health are obliged to perform it at least once in their lifetimes. Each year, at least 5,000 Kenyan pilgrims visit Saudi Arabia to perform Hajj, but this year they'll be unable to do so. Sheikh Ibrahim and his wife, who are set to grace the two holy mosques to perform Hajj, But these restrictions are a big setback for them. We planned to go with my wife, but now, due to the restrictions, we have not been able. We hope they will reopen and allow us to Hajj when Corona ends.
Sheikh Ibrahim is yet to get back his money that he paid for hotel bookings and tickets, as airlines are yet to reimburse pilgrims who booked their flights, hoping to make the journey. Mohammed Sharif, a Hajj agent, is counting his losses. He's yet to reimburse 10 of his customers who booked to go to Saudi Arabia during the holy month of Ramadan.
I would normally process between 50 to 100 people every year for Hajj. This year has been a difficult year for our business. And during Ramadan, we had agreements with hotels and airlines to take people for Umrah, the mini Hajj. But because of the international lockdown, we were not able to proceed with it. Now, I've been forced to let go of my employees because I can't pay their salaries.
He says he was hoping the kingdom would announce a reduction in the number of visitors rather than shutting the doors to international pilgrims altogether.
That's Hudifa Aden reporting from Kenya there. Well, lockdown restrictions still vary country to country, but in Paris today, the Eiffel Tower is reopening after a three-month hiatus. Admission is limited, and anyone over the age of 11 will be required to wear a mask. Those hoping for spectacular views, though, will have to wait a bit longer. The top floor viewing platform won't reopen until later this summer. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.